Chapter 5. Chapter 5. Word.
Jareth Sartoris made his way down the narrow gangway, outside the guards' quarters, massaging his temples as he walked. He had a headache. Nothing new there. But this one was something special. A vice grip across his temporal lobes that made him feel like he'd been gassed with some kind of low-grade neurotoxin in his sleep. The greasy smear of breakfast down the back of his throat hadn't helped. He'd been awake even before the warden's summons came through. After working third shift last night, he'd toppled into his bunk early this morning and lapsed into restless unconsciousness. But 2 hours later, the abrupt silence had awakened him, the feeling of his tightly coiled world spinning off its axis. They were 7 standard days out, so why had the engines fallen silent? Sartoris had gotten dressed, grabbed some lukewarm calf and a reheated bantha patty from the mess, and headed down the hall toward the warden's office, hoping to build up enough mindless momentum to keep him going as far as he needed. To his right, the turbolift doors opened. 3 other guards, Vesic, Austin, and some pompadoured newbie, came out, falling into step behind him. They had to walk single file to fit comfortably down the hall. Sartoris didn't break stride, or even glance back at them.
"Me and the guys, Cap?"
Austin's voice piped up, after a respectful pause.
"We were, you know, wondering if you could shed a little light on what's going on."
Sartoris shook his head, still not looking back.
"What's that?"
"I heard we blew out both thrusters completely,"
Vesic put in.
"Word is, we're just sitting here somewhere outside the unknown regions waiting for a tow."
Austin sniggered.
"Barge full of stranded convicts, I'm sure we're top priority for the Empire."
"Stang," Vesic said. "Maybe they'll just decide to leave us drifting out here, right?"
"Ask the Rook."
Austin poked the pompadoured guard walking in front of him.
"Hey, Armitage, you think they'll rescue us?"
He sniggered, not waiting for the kid to respond.
"He'd probably like it. Suits his artistic temperament, right, Armitage?"
The newbie just ignored him and kept walking.
"How long did you spend on your air this morning, Rook? You opened Dr. Cody's taking an interest?"
"All right."
Sartoris snapped a glance up at them.
"Belay that noise, understand?"
Nobody spoke the rest of the way to the warden's office. Cloth's office had been tricked out to look larger than it actually was. Light colors, hollow murals, and a colossal rectilinear view screen facing out the star-strewn expanse. But Sartoris had always found the effect paradoxically oppressive. Some time ago, he'd noticed a blown voxel in the corner of the desert landscape above Cloth's desk, a missed stitch in the digital fabric. Ever since then, something about the second-hand technology seemed to be pushing in on him, and now his eyes always felt as if they were being tricked, lulled into a false sense of openness.
"First, the bad news," Cloth said.
He was standing in his usual position, hands clasped behind his back, looking out the view screen.
"Our thrusters are seriously damaged, probably beyond repair. And as I'm sure you know, we're still 7 standard days out from our destination."
One of the other guards, the rookie probably, let out a nearly inaudible groan. Sartoris only heard it because he was standing next to him.
"However," the warden continued, "there is a positive side."
Cloth turned slowly to face them. Upon first glance, his face was the usual blunt bureaucratic hatchet, slightly curved and angular upper lip, gray-rimmed eyes, and bluish-silver bags of freshly shaven cheeks. Only after spending a certain amount of time with the man did you come to know the soft thing residing within that calculated outer shell. A spineless, gelatinous creature that exuded nothing so much as the tremulous anxiety of being drawn out and exposed.
"It seems the Navicomputer has identified an Imperial vessel," Cloth said. "A Star Destroyer, actually, within this same system. While our attempts to make contact have met with no reply, we do have enough power to make our approach."
He paused here, apparently in anticipation of applause, or at least a round of relieved sighs. But Sartoris and the others just looked at him.
"A destroyer?"
Austin asked.
and they're not responding to our call.
Cloth didn't answer for a moment. He touched his chin, fingering it thoughtfully. A pompous and disaffected gesture Sartorius had seen 1,000 times, and had come to loathe in his own special way.
There's more to it than that, he said. According to our bioscans, there's only a handful of life forms on board.
How many's a handful? Vesic wanted to know.
10. Perhaps 12.
10 or 12? Vesic shook his head. Sounds like a scanner issue. Destroyers can carry a crew of 10,000 or more.
Thank you, Cloth said dryly. I'm well aware of the standard Imperial specs.
Sorry, sir. It's just, either our equipment is undergoing some serious malfunction or there's something else going on up there.
It was the first time Sartorius had spoken in the office, and he was surprised at the hoarseness in his voice.
Something that we don't want any part of.
The others all turned to look at him. For what felt like a long time after that, no one spoke. Then the warden cleared his throat.
What are you saying, Captain?
There's no reason the Empire would just abandon an entire Star Destroyer out here in the middle of nowhere without a good reason.
He's right, Austin said.
Maybe. Internal atmosphere diagnostics show no sign of any known toxin or contamination, Cloth said. Of course, it's always possible that our instruments are misreading how many life forms are on board. We screen for numerous variables. Electrical brain activity, pulse, motion, any number of those things could skew the reading. In any case, he smiled. A wholly unconvincing dramatization that ought to have involved invisible wires and hooks on either side of his mouth. The most critical factor is that we may be able to salvage equipment for our thrusters and get back on course before we're completely behind schedule. To that end, I'll be sending a scouting party up. Captain Sartorius, along with ICOs Austin, Vesic, and Armitage, and the mechanical engineers to see what they can salvage. We anticipate docking within the hour. Questions?
There were none, and Cloth dismissed them in the usual fashion, by turning his back and letting them find their own way out. Sartorius was about to follow them when the warden's voice stopped him.
Captain?
Stopping in the doorway, Sartorius drew a breath and felt the ache in his head become a deeper, more impacted pounding, like a gargantuan infected tooth somewhere in his frontal sinus. The door closed behind him, and it was just the two of them in what felt like an increasingly shrunken space.
Am I making a mistake sending you up with these men?
Excuse me, sir.
Sir?
Cloth's smile rematerialized, a wisp of its former self.
Now that's a word I haven't heard from you in a long time, Captain.
We haven't seen each other much lately.
I'm aware that this voyage has been particularly challenging for you personally,
Cloth said, and Sartorius found himself hoping fervently that the warden wouldn't start stroking his chin again. If he did, Sartorius wasn't sure he could rein in the urge to punch him straight in his pompous and disaffected face.
After what happened 2 weeks ago, in many ways I expected your resignation right alongside Dr. Cody's.
Why?
She saw you kill an inmate in cold blood.
It was her word against mine.
Your antiquated interrogation techniques aren't appropriate anymore, Captain. You're costing the Empire more information than you're retrieving.
All due respect, sir. Longo was a nobody. A grifter.
We'll never know now, will we?
Sartorius felt his fists clenching at his sides, until his nails burrowed into his palms, delivering stinging pain deep into the skin.
You want me off your boat, Warden? You just say the word.
On the contrary, you may consider this mission an opportunity to redeem yourself. If not in my eyes, then certainly in the eyes of the Empire, to which we both owe so very much. Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Cloth turned and scrutinized him as if for any sign of sarcasm or mockery. In his decades of service, Jareth Sartorius had been to the very edges of the galaxy, living under conditions he wouldn't wish on his worst enemy. He'd had to sleep in places and commit unspeakable deeds that he would have given entire body organs to forget. That simple, "Yes, sir," didn't taste any worse than any of the rest of it.
"So we're clear, then?" Cloth asked.
"Crystal,"
Sartorius replied. And when Cloth turned to show him his back, it wasn't a moment too soon. The warden's office was bigger than any other on the barge, but it was still too small for Sartorius. And as the cooler air of the outer corridor hit him, he realized he'd sweated through the armpits of his uniform completely.